right, amen. Well, welcome. Good to have y'all here tonight. And those of us online, if you would, let's start out by singing More Precious Than Silver.
There's no way.
wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul for which long I had sought since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Since Jesus came into my heart. Floods of joy o'er my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart. I have ceased from my wandering and going astray since Jesus came into my heart. And my sins, which were many, are all washed away since Jesus came into my heart. Like the sea billows roar, since Jesus came into my heart. I shall go there to dwell in that city I know, since Jesus came into my heart. And I'm happy, so happy as onward I go, since Jesus came into my heart. Of joy, hold my soul like the sea billows roar. Since Jesus came into my heart. Amen. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would love to tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, what'd you say, Miss Bicky? 750. Peace like a river, 750. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river, I've got peace like a river in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean. I've got love like an ocean in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain. I've got joy like a fountain in my soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do you have one, Frank? No? Oh, okay. No. Hey, praise the Lord. That's great. Yeah, yeah. Any other pick of hymns anybody think of? You got one, Bobby? Okay, I was really close to that one. 326. Oh, 326. Nope, I'm 100 off. 326. Blessed Redeemer, 326. Up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Father, forgive them, thus he did pray. E'en while his life blood flowed fast away, praying for sinners while in such woe, no one but Jesus ever loved so. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Oh, how I love him, Savior and friend. How can my praises ever find end? Through years unnumbered on heaven's shore, my tongue shall praise him forevermore. Blessed Redeemer, precious Redeemer, seems now I see him on Calvary's tree. Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. Amen.
All right, here we are. Good to see each and every one of you tonight. Those of you with us online, good to have you with us as well. The days are getting longer. The temperature's getting hotter. And we need some rain, amen?
Some rain.
All right, what praises? Do we have any praises or testimonies tonight? Praises and testimonies. That'll work. Yeah.
A friend of mine up in the Oklahoma area, and he had fallen, and nobody knew why he fell.
Yeah.
But the result was that he had a vertebrae in his neck broken.
Yes.
He had 5 or 6 ribs broken,
yes,
all in one rib cage.
Right.
And then he had another vertebrae broken up near his shoulders. He was in a mess. But his father, who is really my good friend, I've been keeping up with this guy, David. And he has made miraculous recovery from this.
Yes.
He's up and about, moving around. And I know that my friend, his father, has been lifting him up in prayer constantly, because they are that type of people.
Yes.
But my friend has shared that his son, David, is recovering well and is much, much, much better from this fall than he was a short time after he endured that fall. So
amen.
I'm thankful for that, for David's behalf. And certainly I want to share with you all that God's hand has been good in that particular incident.
Amen, brother. Thank you for that. Amen, amen. Amen. What else? Any other testimonies or encouraging words or thanksgiving?
Yes, Brother Lee. Praise God for Barry visiting with us today and sharing his lovely mother's testimony.
Amen.
It really was a blessing. Continue to pray for them, though, and that family.
Absolutely.
During
we'll
this
be
time.
Praying for him, sure. Is Barry Harris?
Yes,
well, I'm thankful that the orientation today for Girls State citizens went very well. We had a packed room of girls headed to Seguin, Texas to learn all about the government system.
Oh, wow.
So we could have a new president, female.
All right, so this is what group of girls traveling?
It is the Blue Bonnet Girls State, the Department of Texas Blue Bonnet Girls State.
Blue Bonnet Girls. You call it Blue Bonnet Girls?
Blue Bonnet Girls State.
State. Okay. I had no idea that even existed. That's amazing. And how old are these girls? Okay. Well, high school students. That's great. Is this like FFA for government or something?
It is through the American Legion Auxiliary.
Oh, okay. Okay, American Legion. All right.
Although they don't have to be members of the auxiliary. They're just girls from... They're girls from schools all over Texas.
Yeah, right.
Take 600 girls. So.
Amen. And where are they heading?
Seguin, Texas. It's a 3-hour drive.
All right. Safe travels there and back.
Yeah.
Yep. Amen, amen. All right. What else? Any other praises, testimonies? Yeah, you got one back there, brother?
Sharon Heibarger, thankful to be back in church.
Yeah, amen. Back in the church house. All right.
I have a awesome praise.
Yes, sir.
I have sent out a prayer request the other day for a friend of mine's son, Jason,
okay,
who was involved in a swimming pool accident, broke his neck, had feeling in his body, but he was paralyzed.
Mm.
He had a surgery Friday afternoon late, and the last I got word from his dad was the surgery went well, but they have him in a sedated coma for probably 2 or 3 days.
Yeah.
But when he first told me about it, I sent out prayer requests on everybody I have on my Facebook notification.
Yes, sir.
Men Who Follow God, Man Up God's Community.
Yeah, yeah, right.
CMA, Christian Motorcycle Association, Single Mingle group that I'm in. And I am still getting notifications from people praying for Jason. And that is a godsend.
Amen.
And I haven't heard anything else on how he's doing so far, but it's in God's hands.
Amen.
And he is a Christian.
Yeah.
And the very interesting thing about it is that when I had a feeling I needed to call his dad, and I've been friends with his dad's name is Isaac.
Uh-huh.
And I have been friends with him for so long that back when Bobby was the pastor here, their family was doing really bad, and our pantry actually provided them groceries. I mean, this was back when Isaac was still just a kid. And he told me that the day that it happened, when he finally got to talk to his son, mm-hmm. that he said the only thing he remembers was being in a field full of flowers. His great-grandma was there,
huh?
And his daughter, which was a little baby when she passed away. He's 26.
Oh, wow.
And said, after that, all he remembers was waking up in the emergency room.
Well, I'll be doggone.
So he is a Christian. He was saved, and he is baptized. So,
how did he break his neck? What happened?
Some kind of pool accident.
Pool accident.
Yeah, was. I don't know anything about what happened.
Okay.
All I know was a swimming pool accident.
Well, amen.
But that is my praise, and the prayer request is for us to continue praying for Jason.
You got it, brother. All right, all right. Prayer requests. Pray for that Collins family and the loss of grandfather and 4 grandkids. Horrifically killed. Pray for that... Pray for their comfort, God's grace to see them through. That's tough, 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 isn't it? Wow. All right, Collins family, what else tonight? Prayer requests. Yes, sir.
Yeah, my mom, she's going to have a little heart thing Tuesday. I guess we stick that dye up your leg and see if you have any, what do they call that? Huh? Yeah.
I guess. Checking for blockage?
Yes, sir. You know, and see if she has a little heart murmur, that they might try to work on. I don't know how they work on them.
Are you going up there to take her?
My sister is.
Okay.
So Donna will be there.
All right, all right.
And then Robert Hester, he has could have had a heart attack, they said. I don't know why they haven't took him to the doctor, but... He's still in the home, and his blood oxygen level got down to 70.
Possible heart attack.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's real low.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real low. Wow.
Yeah, man, he's not doing it good this evening either.
Okay.
We just get to do this up on request. Yeah, you go ahead.
Prayer request.
Well, I thank you so much for being open to this. I don't really know what all you're looking for, but let me share something that's going on in my family, and it concerns a very young grandson of mine, Barrett. I'll use his name as Barrett. And he's 6 years old, and he was born, and as he developed vocal skills, it became apparent that something wasn't just right with his vocalization. And so they've been watching him closely. And to cut to the chase, they discovered some weeks back that Barrett had tonsils that were going bad, and he needed to get those tonsils taken out. And what's the other thing you take out with the tonsils?
Adenoids.
Adenoids. I can never come up with a word. His adenoids were a cryptic problem, and they were enlarged. And so he had surgery. He had surgery Monday. They had talked with my daughter, who is his mother,
yeah,
and her husband, who is obviously my grandson, son-in-law. And so surgery occurred Monday. He had a little bit of problem with his anesthesia the first few hours after the surgery was complete, but he's doing fine. The doctors expressed a very content disposition toward the surgery and what's going on now to my daughter, his mother. And so I would just simply ask that we pray for Barrett, continued healing, that he would go on and recover from the absence of these adenoids and tonsils, and that his voice, where it was lacking a little bit, the doctors seem to think this is going to help him some with his speech characteristics. So
amen.
I would like to, for us, to just simply ask God to lay his healing hand upon Barrett and certainly heal him up and get him back into his normal grind of life soon.
Amen, brother. That's good. All right. Anything else? Mo, you got one back there? Okay.
Yeah, Sharon Heiberger, prayer for a good outcome for Justin's surgery on Friday to remove a cyst pushing on his skull.
Justin's surgery Friday.
Also for my other grandson for traveling mercy. He's going to be traveling on job next week to and from back to work. For San Marcos, Bobby, around San Marcos for traveling mercy and hedge of protection around that car.
And who is this?
BJ.
BJ traveling. Traveling mercies. Back and forth to
San Marcos.
All right, all right. Okay. Amen, amen. All right, you guys ready? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Unspoken. All right. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, and we thank you that we can lift up these praises to you tonight, Lord. As we preached on this morning, we are thankful for the grace. Father God, thank you for that grace and that mercy and the salvation that it provides and the blessings it provides and the rewards it provides. We're just thankful for your grace. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your call to salvation and your call to service and, Lord, your call to come worship you. We just praise you and thank you for all of it tonight. Lord, as we lift up these praises to you tonight, we're praising you that you've spared Jason's life, and Lord, with this broke neck, he's been able to have a successful surgery. We pray that you continue to heal and mend him. Lord, we pray for his complete and full recovery from this broken neck. We lift up David as well, recovering from a fall. And Lord, we're thankful that his prognosis is better and better as time goes by. And Lord, we're praying for a full recovery there for David. And, Lord, we lift up Barry to you, and we praise you that he was here with us this morning to worship with us. Lord, we pray you might draw him back to this body of believers or another body of believers. And we're thankful again as we prayed this morning for his mother's life and her testimony of salvation. And we pray for Barry's comfort and his brother's comfort. Lord, we lift them up to you, but we're thankful that we were able to worship with Barry here this morning. Lord, we lift up the Blue Bonnet State girls traveling to Seguin. We pray for safe travels there and back. Watch over them, Lord. Give them safety as they do their government studies. Just watch over them. Be with them, Lord. The adult chaperones, all those involved, just pray for a safe, good outing in that situation. Sharon Heiberger back with us in church. Lord, we're thankful that that pin removal and plate removal was a successful procedure. We pray that that foot now would just come back into to full health. And, Lord, you'd allow her to be able to wear the same shoes on both foot, Lord, of one pair of shoes. Wouldn't have to wear two different kinds of shoes, Lord. And we just pray for full recovery there for Sharon as that foot heals up. Lord, as we think about these prayer requests tonight, Lord, we lift up the Collins family to you. We pray for their comfort. We pray for their help. We pray, God, that you might just surround them with your love and just help them as a family walk through the tragedy that they're find themselves in the middle of. For these mamas and daddies of these grandbabies, it has to just seem like a nightmare that's come to life. And so, Lord, we pray you might be in the midst of that pain with them, and Lord, help them get through it. Help them just live one day at a time right now as they get ready to bury these folks and have these funerals and memorials. Lord, we pray that your spirit would be thick and would be present and would be helping and healing for all those in attendance. Lord, we continue to pray that same kind of prayer for Uvalde, the loss of all those sweet kids, teachers, that teacher's husband. Lord, we pray you help that community and that extended family there, Lord, that they would just be able to heal up here in the coming years. We know they won't get over this, but Lord, we know that with your help, with your grace, with your strength, with your peace, they won't get over it, but they'll get through it. So Lord, we pray that you just continue to help them as well. We lift up Jeanette to you, Lord, James's mother, as she prepares to have this angioplasty, checking for blockage in her heart arteries. We pray that'd be a good, safe procedure for her. You'd bring her through that. Be with James's sister as she cares for their mom during this. And just watch over them. We continue to pray for Robert Hester, struggling with this frontal lobe dementia. We pray for his heart, Lord, and we pray for his situation there. And Lord, we pray that he not have to suffer. Lord, you would just be with him and help him. And if it is a heart attack, Lord, you just give those physicians the wisdom and discernment how best to treat him. And Lord, we pray that they're able to get his pulse ox back up. And then Lord, Frank's grandson, Barry, we pray for his continued healing as he's had his tonsils and adenoids removed. We pray that his speech pattern and speech development would get back on track. And that, Lord, he would he'd be able to meet those standards as he gets ready to go to school and all those things. Lord, we're thankful that they were able to find this sooner than later. And Lord, we just pray that Barry come through this just fine, Lord. We continue to pray for Ukraine, God. We lift that country up to you. We pray for our government as they assist Ukraine and give them all kinds of aid. And the rest of the European Union, Lord, as they do the same, NATO. Lord, be with these countries as they support Ukraine. Lord, be with the rest of us as we feel the pinch and the great angst of the gas prices. That certainly has some to do with it, having Russia's oil not on the market. So, God, we pray that Keystone might come back online somehow, some way, Lord, maybe after the November election. Lord, we pray you might help us with our energy independence here. Whatever it may be, God, solar, electric, conventional, fossil fuels, whatever it may be, Lord. We need more energy independence, that's for sure. Lord, we pray that these companies that are making huge profits, we pray that they think about the average folks out there that are finding it quite difficult to afford $4.50 for a gallon. So, Lord, we pray it not go any higher. We pray that gas would somehow miraculously begin to tick back down into reality. Lord, for these folks that are having to pay $6 a gallon in some of these western states and eastern states, we pray that you help them figure it out. Because, Lord, that's a huge hit. Watch over these folks. Help them, God. Lord, we're praying for rain. Lord, we think about the drought that the Southwest is in, Southwest United States, the Western United States. Lord, we ask that you open your floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Let it rain on this old dry parched land. We certainly don't want to see what went on here some 10 years ago when we had a bad drought around this place and wildfires and all kinds of stuff. Lord, we pray that you might see us through, that you might bless us with the showers of rain and showers of blessing. Lift up Justin to you tonight, Lord, as he gets ready to have this surgery on Friday to remove this cyst that's pressing against his skull. We pray that that be a routine surgery, an uneventful procedure, Lord, that he would be in, be out. They'd be able to figure out exactly what's going on with that. You'd bring healing to his that part of his body. And then, Lord, we lift up BJ to you. We ask for traveling mercies as he goes to Seguin and San Marcos and then comes back from there. Watch over him, Lord. We just pray your angels of protection around him. And then, Lord, as we close our time out tonight, we lift up these unspokens to you. We're thankful that we can give these to you another week. And, Lord, we're thankful for your sovereignty. We're thankful for your power. We're thankful for your perfect timing. And may we lean in and trust on you that you're working on our behalf. And, Lord, when we don't know how to pray, Lord, may you take these unspokens and make intercession on our behalf. We praise you and thank you for that, for standing in the gap for us. Lord, thank you for being with us tonight. We thank you for your word. And, Lord, we pray our minds and our hearts would be open to receive it. It's in your name we pray. And everyone said, all right. You'll take a copy of God's word. We're in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We'll begin here in verse 1. And we've read through this passage a time or two now. We've introduced it, and we're trying to work our way through these 8 verses, so to speak. So, those of you with us online, Revelation 21, 1 through 8, the Word of God reads this. It says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away.' And he who sits on the throne said, 'Behold, I am making all things new.' And he said, 'Write, for these words are faithful and true.' Then he said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.' Then one of the 7 angels..." Oh, I'm sorry, that's verse 9. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you all for standing in honor of the reading of the holy and inerrant word of God, and may he add his tremendous blessing to it. Verse 9 we'll get into when we finish these first 8 verses. I read that verse 8 and immediately came to mind that that cartel individual that gunned down that grandfather and those 4 grandbabies. In the lake of fire that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That old boy thought he had it all figured out and thought he was going to break into a home and get a car and then ended up finding some weapons and thought he was going to break into another home. And he took 5 lives, but he lost his. So, tragedy, tragedy, tragedy. The amount of evil and wickedness among us, something else. Last time we talked, we're talking about the new heaven and the new earth. This is our 4th installment on these 8 verses tonight. The last time we talked, we were talking about how the minority will in fact become the majority. Right now we talked about, or last time we talked about how Christians make up a minority of citizens in the city of Jerusalem. There are of course more Muslims, there are of course more Jews. One day, however, in the new Jerusalem, the majority will be Christians. Amen? The minority will become the majority. We talked about John's transition, if you were here with us on Wednesday night. We said this city described in verse 2 is the 3rd city named Jerusalem in redemptive history. We said the new Jerusalem is called the holy city because everyone in it, praise the Lord, is holy, Since the Word of God says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is the one who has a part in the first resurrection. Amen? We said Wednesday night in this vision, John saw the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. And we talked about how, you know, this vision of this new city coming down, we said don't let this kind of blow your mind too much. But we talked about how scholars believe, you know, when John sees it coming down out of heaven, there is a new heaven, meaning a new creation and a new earth, not tainted by sin ever, right? We talked about how some scholars believe the new Jerusalem already exists as that third heaven at the present time. We talked about how there were three heavens. We described those for you. Scholars believe this because this would be the only place that sin has not affected this abode or throne room, if you will, of Almighty God. We talked about how the thinking goes like this. When you die, right? Absent from the body, you're what? Present with Christ. This is where your soul and your spirit go. In other words, this new Jerusalem waiting to descend, we said, is already built by the great God and architect himself. Now, this is how the reasoning or the thinking goes. When God creates the new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem will descend into the midst of the holy new universe, per chapter 21, verse 10, and it serves as the dwelling place of the redeemed for all eternity. And so since the throne of God will be in the new Jerusalem, which will come down to the new earth, that city will be the bond between the new earth and the new heaven. I don't know if we got into this part, so to speak, but if we did, this will continue to be a little bit of a review, but I think this is new for us tonight. John continues describing, I think this is new tonight for us. These things kind of run together when you get into this and get into it. But John continues describing heaven's capital city as he works his way through this vision. Notice in verse 2, it says, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And we take on this phrase tonight, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. Made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The city is pictured as a bride because the city contains the bride, and thus the city takes on her character. The city takes on the bride's character. The imagery, as we see it throughout the Word of God, the imagery is drawn from a Jewish wedding, so to speak, which typically has several parts to it or several stages to it. First, and we've covered this before, this kind of be a review, but first was the betrothal, which was like a modern engagement, but more legally binding. The betrothal of the Lord's bride took place, and we've shared this before, in eternity past, when God pledged to His Son a redeemed people. Secondly, the next stage was the presentation, a time of celebration, a time of feasting, a time leading up to the actual wedding ceremony. The presentation of the bride took place following the rapture of the church when believers are taken to heaven in glorified bodies. Amen? All right. The third stage was the ceremony. The ceremony, which for the Lord's bride, began at the marriage supper of the Lamb. We've preached through that in depth, Revelation 19, verses 7 and 9. And that ceremony stretched through the millennial kingdom, a long ceremony. That's a long ceremony, amen? Some weddings are just longer than others, amen? And then the final stage is going to be the consummation, which corresponds to the eternal state. John saw the bride adorned for her husband because it was time for the consummation. Does that make sense to you? Amen? When we see the word adorned is the verb in the New Testament Greek kosmeo, which means to order, which means to arrange. The related noun of that kosmos being the verb, the related noun
of that verb, cosmeo, the noun is cosmos, I'll get it right in a minute, translated adornment in 1 Peter chapter 3:3, is the root of our English word cosmetics. All right? Now, you ladies know what cosmetics are. Amen? Yeah. You got your beauty supplies. Amen? Right? The question is, what are we driving at here with our word study, preacher? Well, the bride has become appropriately ordered and arranged in all her beauty. There's nothing else to do. She's ready for the consummation. By this point in Revelation, the bride concept expands, and we've talked about this. The bride concept expands to include not only the church, since Acts chapter 2, but also all the rest of the redeemed from all the ages who live forever in that eternal city. This is the great moment that the New Testament looks towards. This is the great moment that these men inspired by the Holy Spirit wrote about. This is the moment described by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:28. When the Word of God reads, "When all things are subjected to Him, then the Son Himself also will be subjected to the One who subjected all things to Him, so that God may be all in all." Now, as we transition away from that, this imagery of the bride, we come to verse 3. What is the point of verse 3? Well, I think it's evident. I think it's very obvious what the point is of verse 3. We are present with our Maker. We are present with Him, with our Maker, the One that thought us in eternity past. We are present now with Him. Look at verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and He will dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself will be among them. The supreme glory and joy of heaven is the person of God." You show me somebody that doesn't enjoy church much, I'll show you somebody not going to get a whole lot out of heaven, man. Because heaven is going to be a whole lot about God. Amen? Going to be a whole lot about God. Psalm 73:25 says, "Whom I have in heaven but You, and besides You, I desire nothing on earth." Here in our present passage, 21:3, as 20 times previously in Revelation, a loud voice heralds an announcement of great importance. Now, the source of the voice is not revealed. Now, though this voice is probably not God, God speaks in verse 5, but the voice here probably belongs to one of these high-ranking angels, right? So, it says, tabernacle, verse 3, we see the word tabernacle. You see that with me? Behold, the tabernacle of God, saying, all right, you see that right there, amen, tabernacle. What's going on with that? That can also mean tent. That can also mean dwelling place. What's the point as we drive through that word study? God will pitch His tent among His people. No longer will He be far off. No longer will He be distant and transcendent. You'll see Him. You'll see Him, Almighty God. He'll be manifest before you. No more will His presence be veiled in the human form of Jesus Christ, even in Jesus' millennial majesty. Or no longer will God be veiled in the cloud, in the pillar of fire by night. Or no longer will God be veiled in the Holy of Holies. No longer. No longer. The amazing promise of Matthew chapter 5:8 becomes the reality.
5:8 says in Matthew's gospel, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." They shall see Him. Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verse 24, will have been finally answered. John 17, 24 says, "Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me here where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world." What is this verse actually communicating to us, this verse 3 that we just read tonight? Tackled that second phrase there in verse 2. We're tackling that verse 3 passage. What's it saying? What's verse 3 getting at? What's it driving to? It's driving to this. The Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. The Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. They are heaven's temple. They are the temple. They are it. Their presence will permeate heaven and will not be confined to one place of manifestation. They will be the temple. This is so incomprehensible in this truth that the heavenly voice repeats it several ways. To the mind-boggling reality that the tabernacle of God is among men, we see verse 4, "And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death, there will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." Why? Because God the Father and the Lamb, they permeate everything that we are in physically at that time, right? This will be the manifestation of God's glorious presence to His people like no other in redemptive history, and the culmination of all divine promise and human hope. The question is this, and we'll kind of end with this tonight. What will living in God's glorious presence in heaven be like? What will it be like? Well, we can draw some conclusions. We don't know 110% sure, but we can draw some inferences, some conclusions from the Word of God. Number one, believers will enjoy fellowship with Him. Deep, great, wholesome, honest, genuine fellowship with our Maker. The imperfect, sin-hindered fellowship that believers have with God in this life will become full, will become complete, will become unlimited. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 and 4 says, "What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write, so that our joy may be made complete." Friend, that joy is going to be complete one day. Joy is going to be complete. That joy is going to completely knock your socks plumb off your glorified toes, friend. Your joy is going to be full, amen? You won't be able to keep a hat on. Be too much joy coming out of you, amen? So first, believers will enjoy fellowship with Him. Second, believers, haven't you always wanted to know? I've always wanted to know. It's been a burning question in my heart. Haven't you always wanted to know? Believers will see God as He is. We will see Him as He is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, because we will see Him just as He is." It's going to be glorious, amen? Such an unveiled view of God is impossible for mortal men at this point. No living person has ever seen God in the fullness of His glory. Moses got close. He saw the backside, right? Hidden in the cleft of the rock, right? The Bible says He dwells in unapproachable light, exposure to which would mean instant death for a living person without a glorified body. But in heaven, the pure in heart shall see God. Matthew 5:8. Since, why, how does it happen? We will be perfectly holy. Perfectly holy. We will be given an eternal, and expanded vision of God manifested in His shining glory. Amen? So, we're going to get to fellowship. Two, we're going to get to see. And three, believers will worship God. Man, I've heard a lot through the years. I'll be real honest with you. People have a lot of different ideas about heaven. I'm going to get a spread over here. I'm going to get a mansion over here. I'm going to have my 80 acres over here. I'm going to have my stock bass pond over here. I'm going to have this over there. I'm going to have four homes over all across this new earth. Friend, what you're going to have is a mandate to worship God. You're going to have a mandate to worship God. And if you make heaven, let me tell you what you're going to want. You're going to want to worship God. You're going to want to worship Him. Amen? Yeah. Believers will worship God. Now, is that all we do? I don't know. But isn't that enough? I mean, isn't that enough? Believers will worship God. Well, preacher, you don't think that somewhere in that worship we will expand God's glory? And friend, it's a new heaven and a new earth. It's a new universe. I mean, sin's gone. I mean, it's all been expanded out, right? I mean, I don't know. Is there work at that? I don't know if there's work at that point. If there is, I'm all up for it. Amen. I like to work. You like to work. But praise God, believers will worship God. Seeing Him and fellowshipping with Him. Every glimpse of heaven, when you go through this, you go through the book of Revelation. Every glimpse of heaven and revelation, you know what it reveals? It reveals redeemed people and angels worshiping God. Kind of begs the question, what are we going to be doing? Yeah, probably the same thing, worshiping God. Now, that's not surprising since Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 23, He said, true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be His worshipers. Amen? In heaven, the glorified, perfected saints will offer. I've always wanted to do this. I don't know about you, but I've always wanted to offer God. I mean, man, He sent His Son to die on the cross for my sins. I've always wanted to offer Him. I've never gotten there. I've never been able to get there. As much as I've prayed, as much as I've tried to keep sin out of my life leading up to the glorious day of Sunday, I've never been able to get there. But one day, I'm going to be able to offer Him perfect worship. Hadn't got there yet. But one day I will. That's going to be something. Amen? I mean, you mind not wondering? You know, you're not thinking about stuff you shouldn't be thinking about. You're going to be totally focused, locked in, perfectly worshiping God. You're going to get to offer God perfect worship. That's worth the trip right there. That's worth the trip to glory right there. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to end it there tonight. Anybody online got anything? No? All right. Well, good to see y'all tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You for our online folks tonight, Lord. We thank You for our shut-ins. We pray You encourage them, Lord. Help them. Father God, we pray that the word would get out about Miss Virginia. And Lord, that there would be a good group from our congregation represented there this coming Friday. Lord, we pray that Miss Virginia's homegoing service would be one that uplifts Jesus, and it'd be one that brings comfort to Barry and his brother and their family. And Lord, it would be one that celebrates Virginia's salvation. You could tell by looking at that lady, the glow she had, the words she spoke, her wisdom of the Scripture, you just could tell that that lady had a love for you. So Lord, we know you're keeping her for all eternity. And we know that we're going to see Miss Virginia again one day. Thank you again for her life. And Lord, we pray as a congregation that as many of us as can be, we'll be present there to stand in the gap, be there for old Barry and his brother. We pray for that the pastor. We pray for the person officiating that service, Lord. We pray you give him words to speak. Pray that you give him God-honoring words. Give him much scripture of comfort. And Lord, give him a message that points people to the cross. Lord, we love you tonight. Give us safety as we depart this place. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen. All right. Folks are dismissed. We'll see you all next time. Yeah, put it in there. Yeah, what is it? Friday, what time? 12:30 be at the gate, and the funeral's at 1? Yeah, okay. And that's at, you got the address? Yeah, okay. Yeah, Brother John, will you put that on the Facebook? Yeah, amen.